Now, it's well known that the Great Lakes could be a dangerous place for boats during the heyday of maritime shipping and that lighthouses were an important part of keeping sailors safe. But what about light ships? For more than 100 years, light ships acted as mobile beacons along the Wisconsin coastline. Our next guests are here to share some of that history. Ken and Barb Wardius are lighthouse historians based in Glendale. They're the authors of several books, including Wisconsin Lighthouses, A Photographic and Historic Guide. Barb and Ken, welcome back to Central Time.
You're welcome, Rob. Nice to be here.
Thank you. Great to
be here. Let's first paint a picture. What struck me about what you wrote about this, Barb, is life on one of these light boats in, say, the late 1800s or so. A few dudes on a boat for months at a time. What was this like?
Can you imagine? Sure, the boats weren't that big. There was a lot to do, but, of course, the government wanted to keep things inexpensive. Just a few people to keep the light lit, keep the foghorn going, and there you are on a boat with somebody that maybe you don't like so much. It was not fun. The pay was bad, but they were regular, dependable jobs.
And Ken, talk a little bit about the evolution of the Great Lakes lightship and how we ended up needing these guys.
Okay, you know, as most people know, if you know much about maritime history, mariners relied primarily on lighthouses. They date back on the Great Lakes to the mid-1800s. There were certain locations, especially very shallow areas, rocky outcroppings, and other things in the water that you could not see, and you couldn't erect a lighthouse there because the technology at that time just did not allow them to put things in the water. So the lightship, the idea, it's a very simple idea. A floating lighthouse, something that can be towed or moved out to an area that a traditional lighthouse, couldn't be erected. Later on, that changed. We can talk about that a little bit later. But primarily, these were areas that would not lend themselves to the typical brick and mortar lighthouse. The evolution of the lightship itself dates back to the Roman times, actually, but on the Great Lakes. Early to mid-1800s. So they were just built in response to commerce, like lighthouses were, but they were in very specialized areas that needed that type of beacon that a traditional lighthouse could not function as.
Well, Barb, a lighthouse isn't a lighthouse without the light. Same with a light ship. Could you talk about what they were lighting up in the 1800s and how it changed till the end of the lightship era?
Oh, sure. Originally, the mariners complained they were weak, they were inadequate. They had a series of wicks and oil that they tried to light. Eventually, they had some kind of lens to put over it to avoid that thing being blown out. And eventually, they redid a lot of the masts so they weren't so heavy, the light wasn't so top-heavy. And they actually implemented on some of the lightships the French-made Fresnel lenses, which really revolutionized lighthouses, that they could see the beam that much further on the lake.
And Ken, we had a couple of these in Lake Michigan off of Wisconsin. It looks like one of the longest running you write about was by Peshtigo. Tell us a little bit of that history.
Yeah, Milwaukee actually has had a lightship as well, but the two main ones were the Peshtigo Reef lightship and the Milwaukee Harbor lightship. Peshtigo Reef dates to 1912. I mentioned before some of the shallows and some of the rocky areas that you couldn't traditionally build a regular lighthouse. But that lighthouse is off of the city of Peshtigo, north of Green Bay. It's in the Bay of Green Bay. It's a very shallow area. You see the Green Bay and you think it's deep, it's easily navigable. Off of the city of Peshtigo, some of the waters go out about 3 to 4 miles, and it's only a foot or two deep. So the government decided that would have been an excellent place to put a lightship. At that time, they could not erect a lighthouse. They eventually did later on. But for about 30 years, the Peshtigo Reef lightship, it was called Number 77, mariners used that seasonally, early spring through late fall, to guide them around what was called Peshtigo Point, that shallow area of the bay.
And that brings up an interesting point, Barb. You two wrote that there were some seasonal problems. Some of the places you want to bring your lightship, you can't because the ice is still there, like maybe right now, I imagine.
Like right now, that was one of the reasons. You know, thankfully, technology moved ahead that they could actually erect a crib lighthouse on some of these offshore locations. But a lot of the things that we've read and researched indicated that it was a problem to get them on station early on, maybe March or April, because of the ice. And the same thing getting them off the ice at the end of the season, that they were fearful many times that the ice would crush the ship. And, of course, the people on board could die. So they were very lucky once technology moved along and they could actually erect crib lighthouses and do something more permanent rather than a lightship.
All right. Can you tell us about the Peshtigo lightship? How about the Milwaukee one you mentioned?
When we were doing our research on all of the lighthouses of Wisconsin, we found out, and we've dug into a lot of the nautical and maritime history of Milwaukee. We had no idea that there was a lightship stationed about 3 miles east of the harbor. Milwaukee, historically, like many Great Lakes ports, had pier lights. Eventually, it had a breakwater light. But in addition to that, beginning in 1912, the Milwaukee lightship number 95 was anchored a few miles offshore. In addition, there was a lighthouse on the north part of Milwaukee Bay called North Point Lighthouse. There was also a pier light. It's in the Summerfest area of the lakefront now. But that light in the harbor really was not that bright enough. Most of the pier lights close to town, you could see them for 7, 8, maybe 10 miles. So the government decided they would put a light ship farther east in the harbor, and that guided mariners for over 20 years.
Barb, as you mentioned, the light ship era ended with developing technology. Most of these ships, it sounds like we can't see anymore. There is one, though, in Port Huron, Michigan, or as my grandpa called it, Port Yorn. There at least is one of these ships left that's a museum.
It's awesome, yes. They've totally refurbished it. It's been updated. They have docents on board. So it's in Port Huron. It's right on the St. Clair River. And during the season when it's open, you can actually get on board the ship and talk to the docents, and they will tell you what life was like. And this ship happens to be one of the larger ones, but even still, to be stationed somewhere 2 to 4 months on this boat would have been really, really challenging. But if you ever have the chance or if somebody's really interested in maritime history, you need to go to Port Huron, definitely.
We'll leave it there. Barb and Ken, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Welcome. Okay. Thank you so much, Rob.
Ken and Barb Wardius are lighthouse historians living in Glendale. They're the authors of several books, including Wisconsin Lighthouses, a photographic and historic guide. They talked to us today about the history of light ships, which were in use for over a century on the Great Lakes.